Does anybody have a testimony that they want to share this morning?
I guess you could call it a testimony. I was driving to work the other morning and thinking about how the Lord has told me, you know, men think they have free will. But he has told me only he alone has free will, and that men have choices, and that he has placed before us death and life, and he said, choose life. And as I hear him saying this, I'm at the rotary in Sterling, and a truck goes by me, and on the side of the truck in big letters it says, the best choice.
You know, that's a pretty cool example of how God speaks to us sometimes, right? We're all looking for this deep spiritual thing, and sometimes it's just a sign on a truck. Sometimes it's just a knowing, right, that he imparts his wisdom into us. So it's not always this lightning bolt, you know, we're looking for it, but sometimes it's just that knowing, that peace that is supposed to rule as empire in our life to settle all decisions, right? God is so good. And what I found is that he will find the unique way that you need to hear from him. And he'll speak that way to you. He's just so personal. I actually want to share a testimony this morning. This testimony started a couple of weeks back. It was a rough week at work. It was early mornings till late nights. And one particular day, I was leaving work, and it just torrential downpours. And we had hail. And then when I got home, I found out that you didn't have any of that here. So even just 45 minutes down the road, it was just total different weather system. So it was torrential rain. I know I should have pulled over probably 5 times. I couldn't see, but because everybody had their lights on, I could see the cars that were coming, and I knew that I was somewhat in the road, so I just kept going. And as I got into Oxford, if anybody knows Oxford, you know, where McDonald's and there's a bank across the street, well, I ended up going into this puddle of water, and halfway through the puddle, my car just stopped. And so it wasn't going to start. I tried. Cars are going by me. Waves. The water was actually coming over the hood of the car. When I stepped out of the car, the water was up to my knees. That's how deep the water was. And then when I was standing there on the side of the road watching everybody drive by my car was actually buoyant. And I thought, wow, the car can float. I didn't realize that. So, okay, so we got to get AAA, and AAA comes, and one guy had called AAA already. They pulled me out of the road and put me into a parking lot, and then the flatbed came to get my car. So we get my car. The guy says, well, what do you want to tow it? I said, tow it to my house because I think it's just going to dry out, and, you know, it'll be okay. Well, it sat for days. I tried to start it. Nothing. Did some diagnostic stuff myself, replaced a couple of electrical parts that had blown, but the car would not work. So finally we had to make the decision to have it towed up to the dealer and have them take a look at it. So the dealer calls me back after a couple of days. He says, for $7,200 we can get your car back up and running again. Oh, well, let me back up. The $7,200 was the week before the puddle even. So we had put the $7,200 into the car. And then I drove through a puddle, and the diagnostic after that was the engine was trash. So after putting $7,200 into the car, a week later, the car was trash. So now I got to go get a car. So I have a car. So thank God I have the means to get a car. But the testimony is not the car. The testimony is not in the new car. The testimony is not in the puddle. It's through the whole thing. As I was standing there watching my car float in the water, I had peace. I had joy. I like extreme weather, so I was actually able to appreciate the fact that, wow, this was some pretty extreme weather. I'm looking around, and I had peace and I had joy. Even though my car was floating in the middle of the road, I felt the peace. I felt the joy. When they were towing my car, I felt the peace. I felt the joy. When I was diagnosing and fixing some parts and spending more money on the car, I had the peace. I had the joy. When the dealership called me a couple days later and said, your engine is trash, It's a total loss. I had peace and I had joy. When I went out to buy the new car, which is a pretty stressful situation all by itself, through the whole thing, I had peace and I had joy. And I share that with you because over the last weeks, we've been saying that God is going to restore his joy and his peace in his people. Why? Because that's the life that Christ paid for us to have, is a life of peace and joy, overcoming life, right? So there wasn't anything that happened. Every hit, every slap, every bad piece of news, it didn't matter. I was able to have peace and joy. And that's not a testimony of myself. That's a testimony of his goodness. That's a testimony of his working out his promise in my life, that he's restoring my peace and my joy. Remember, the joy is it's the fuel for witnessing for him, for serving him, for living for him. Without the joy, what's the point? So I just wanted to share that testimony because for me, that would have been a total disaster. I would have blown my witness at every turn. I would have had no peace, no joy, and I probably wouldn't have seen any of it back for another 6 months or until at least we felt like we were in a better place financially. But, you know, here's one of my favorite scriptures. I'm going to share this with you. It's out of James, and it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So some people would say to me, really, that's your favorite scripture? Of all the scriptures that you're going to pick to have a favorite, that's the one? Consider it pure joy when you're in trials? And it's always been my favorite, because if the word says it, then that means that I can have it. That means that no matter what I go through, and no matter what it looks like, I can consider it pure joy. And I got to tell you, I had pure joy through that entire situation. Now, I know other people are going through some more serious stuff than losing a car. But that was how the Lord showed me that he was doing a work. How many know sometimes we'll just sit there and ask ourselves, am I really submitted to this process? Am I walking out my salvation? Am I giving myself over to the Lord? Is he having his way in me? Am I really being transformed into the image of Christ? Or am I just going through the motions? So that was a test for me. It showed me something. It showed me that he is still at work in my life. And I was able to have that pure peace and that pure joy, no matter what news, no matter what happened. And I'll tell you what, that is such a wonderful thing, that no matter what you go through, because I know I have him. And that's what I kept saying. You have a bigger purpose and a bigger plan, and all of the provision of heaven is mine anyways. So what have I got to care about this little situation? Do you realize that God will uphold you and provide you with all of the resources of heaven if we trust in him, if we have faith in him, if we believe in what his word says? There's over 8,000 promises in the Bible. And every one of those that are relevant to our lives is something that we can have and walk in by faith. So that's kind of a little segue into my message this morning. Before I get into it, so just an opening, I want to share another story with you today. So it's May. Anybody who rides a bike know that, okay, so May is the time when you got to get your bike prepped, you got to get your bike inspected. And so I was out in the shed at my house, and I knew I had a front brake that was not working properly. So what's supposed to happen is you hit the front brake and it comes off of this micro switch, and then when you let it off, it hits the micro switch and your brake light goes out. So if that's not working properly, your brake light stays on full time, which can melt the cover of the light, it can drain your battery, and you certainly won't get an inspection if your brake light doesn't shut off. So I had to fix that. And so I went on YouTube and watched, I don't know, 40, 50 videos on how to fix this particular situation. And the one that seemed to be the easiest for me was to get this stuff. It's called two-part epoxy. Anybody ever work with a two-part epoxy? This is really neat stuff. It comes in a tube. The tubes are separated. When you squeeze the tube, the two parts come together, and you got to mix them up. And if you give it some time, that stuff will actually harden like metal. And you can file it, you can grind it, It's really cool stuff. So I did that. So I took the lever off of my bike, I put it on the workbench, I squeezed this stuff out of the tube, I mixed it up, made sure that both parts were mixed up properly, and then I put it onto the handle and I let it dry for 24 hours. When I came back out the next day, the part was hardened like metal and I was able to file it and grind it and shape it to the shape that I needed so that when my brake lever came back, it had that metal to touch the brake switch. So, two-part epoxy, it's part of what I want to talk about today. Anybody, are you familiar with that stuff? Yeah. As I was meditating on just all kinds of things that the Lord has been showing me lately, he reminded me of what I opened up the service with a few weeks ago. The scripture that I opened up the service with, I'm gonna read it. But the Lord showed me that scripture. I've not been able to shake that scripture since I opened with it in service, right? It was a quick 2-minute opening, but man, it's just been on me since then. It's just that word has just been coming forth, and I just can't shake it. And so as I was meditating on that, the Lord kind of brought together these two situations, this one situation with the brake pedal fix, the brake lever fix, and then this scripture that I haven't been able to shake. And so this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. It's about catalyst. Now, that two-part epoxy, one of those is called a resin. The other part is called a hardener. The hardener is really a catalyst. And a catalyst, if you know what a catalyst is, it's something that facilitates a reaction or something to happen. And so for that two-part epoxy, it was the two parts, the resin and the hardener. But for the Word of God, there's two parts as well. And I'll read the scripture again and you'll know what I'm talking about. For the Word of God, we have to add faith to it. If we don't add faith to it, then the Word of God is not going to work in our life. We know that, right? We know this is true. But let's take it to another level. Faith equals obedience to the Word. How many of you know people that they can quote any particular scripture for any particular situation, and it's the right scripture, or it seems to be, but that person may not be walking in the power of the Word at all, because it's really just head knowledge. So the Word is not meant to be understood, it's meant to be walked out. It's meant to be done in our lives. So faith is supposed to look like something, right? Faith, we're supposed to be able to see somebody's faith in their walk. So let me read the scripture. It's Hebrews 3:12 to 4:16. There's two sections if you have the headings in your Bible. One is named the Perils of Unbelief, and the other is called The Believer's Rest. So let's start off with Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. And this is the part right here. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, And those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He fixes again a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many would say amen to the word of God? So the main focus, I read a lot there. You know, who was he talking about? He was talking about the Israelites, right? And it was their habitual disobedience that caused God's wrath to fall upon them. So I put it in context. But today I want to really just focus on the verse where it says, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So just like that two-part epoxy, right? If I had just mixed one part of that, that stuff would have stayed liquid and it would have been useless for me to use for what I needed to use it for. No matter how much I willed for that epoxy to harden without the hardener being added, it was just going to stay liquid. No matter how much I knew how this stuff worked, knowing it was not enough, knowing it was not going to make it happen, I had to do the work. I had to mix the two. The two parts had to be together. They had to be mixed together. Do you see it? When you have the word in your life, when the word says to you, cast your cares, and how many know the world gives all kinds of opportunity for cares? Well, the obedience part is cast those cares. It means give it to God and then practice walking in that peace that passes all understanding. You can have that peace. We can have that peace because we have a hope that never disappoints us. He will never disappoint us. But just like that two-part epoxy, if I don't mix that second part, I should have no expectation for that stuff to work. Doesn't James tell us if you lack wisdom, ask for it? But what does it say if you doubt? It says if you doubt, we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. Right? So if we're not activating our faith with the word, and faith, again, meaning obedience to the word, right? Faith in the word is not just repeating it over and over again. Well, they're saying it, so they must believe it. Well, are they walking it out? Are you walking it out? If the Bible says forgive, are you forgiving, or do you still have people in your life that you need to forgive? It's the obedience part. Doesn't the scripture say, show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works? Doesn't the Bible also say faith without works is what? It's dead. So if we're not taking all of the parts that need to be added, this is why we may not be seeing the power of the word in our life. And it takes the word, so we have to be in the word, we have to know the word, we have to read the word. Holy Spirit will help us understand the word and even how to understand how to apply it in our life. So we're given everything that we need. The choice is then ours to act on it. That's kind of where the problem lies, isn't it? If we're honest with each other, that's kind of where the problem lies, is walking it out. Walking it out. It's walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. Walking out our salvation with all that discomfort that comes along with doing the things that the Word will tell us to do. But the Word is that mirror, right? It's that mirror that tells the truth. When we look in the mirror of the Word, it tells us what we really are, what we really are struggling like, what we're really, how we're really acting. And that's why a lot of times we don't read the Word, because it does point out those things that need to be worked on. But thank God He is long-suffering. Thank God He is patient. Thank God He is loving. Right? So this is not a major correction here for us today, and I'm talking to myself at the same time, because I could certainly walk out my faith with better obedience than I do today. So it's really an encouragement. It's an encouragement to us all that, hey, there is still time to turn this thing around. There is still time to see the power of the Word of God active in our lives. So the title of the message today is going to be Faith is the Catalyst that Activates the Word. So let's talk about the scripture. So what is this promised rest? I mean, unless, you know, he talks about this rest. Well, if we don't have an idea of it, how's it going to motivate us to do better? What is this rest? I mean, if I get a good night's sleep, I feel pretty good. Is that rest? Is that the rest he's talking about here? You're going to get a good night's sleep? No. There's a lot to what is here. This rest is a result of our engaging in this covenant relationship that we have with Christ. This rest is a result of entering into communion with our God through Christ. In this state of rest, there is spiritual growth. There is a real relationship with our God and Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. The rest is in knowing Him and continuing to learn of Him, deepening in our relationship with Him. As we know more and more about Him, His loving nature, His care for us, we find more peace, more joy, more rest for our souls. The cares of this world continue to fall away, and we begin to walk the overcoming life that Christ paid the ultimate price for us to have. You know, that price is not just eternity. The price is living the overcoming life today. It's walking in the fullness of what He did for us while we're walking on this earth today, tomorrow, the next day. How many of us are walking in the fullness of what Christ made available to us? Probably not one of us would say that. I wouldn't say that, but I want to. I mean, He paid that price. He did that. He went to the cross. He took all that abuse for me to walk in that overcoming life today. And so I want it. I want all of it. Do you want all of it? What's that going to do? That's not selfish. That's glorifying Him. He paid the price. I want it because of the price He paid. He did that for me, and I want all of it. I don't want to miss any of it. So that's part of my prayer. Lord, don't help me. Help me not to miss the fullness of what it was that You did for me on the cross. I want to walk in the fullness of it, because that will, I know Jesus, He loves us so much. It was for the joy set before Him, which was us, that He endured the cross. Do you think He wants us wallowing in our own muck and mire? No, He wants to see us walking in victory. He wants that. He paid the price for that. He wants to see that in us. That's what blesses Him. You want to bless God? Walk in the fullness. Do what the Word says. You start to think, you know, forgiving somebody is really a very small thing. But we get it so built up in our head that it's such a big thing. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to pray about that for like 3 months before I can do that. Well, that's okay if you're a newbie. Because, you know, even newbies have to be raised up, right? But I'm not a newbie. So I shouldn't be walking like that. I shouldn't be talking like that. I shouldn't be thinking like that. If the Word says forgive, I should run right out there and forgive with my flesh burning and smoking and doing all the things that the flesh is going to do, but I must decrease so that he can increase. I mean, I'm at that point where I'm done reasoning with myself to keep myself in my comfort zone, because it's robbing me of the fullness of what Christ died for me to have. And so faith is not knowing the word, faith is doing the word. So for me, I know I got to start doing more what the word says. And as I start doing what the word says, the word will give more of itself to me. Right? Christ was the word made flesh. We are also supposed to be the word made flesh. People are supposed to see the word, to see Christ through our actions and how we live out our day-to-day life. So he paid the price, and it's his desire for us to be walking in the fullness. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." See, faith will cause you to seek him. There's a connection. Faith will cause you to move. It's just the decisions that we make that say, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, I'm not comfortable with that. Oh, I know what the word says. The word is great. A lot of you love the word. But it's only a word until you activate it by your faith. That's where the power of the word is. It's in your faith. It's in your obedience. Because the catalyst is not there, because the second part is not being mixed with the word, we have the head knowledge of faith, that the head knowledge of the word, but faith being the catalyst and faith being an action, obedience to the word. There was no profit in those people, because all they did was what? Grumble and complain and whine and where is God and why this and why that? And how many of us go through our days like that? He designed all things to work together. He designed all of these catalysts. James 2:18 says, "But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Right, we talked about those scriptures. James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." If you read Hebrews 11, that's like the triumphs of the faith chapter, right? The heroes of the faith. You know, it talks about all of the great heroes of the faith. Gives a whole bunch of names in there. And one of my favorite parts of this whole scripture, and I'll read Hebrews 11, 32 to 34. "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." My favorite part of this is where it says, "who by faith obtained promises." Those 8,000 promises in the Bible. Obtain one of them by faith, and your name belongs in Hebrews chapter 11. You are a hero of the faith. "Who by faith," now all the great things everybody did in the Bible, it says at the end, "who by faith obtained promises." So you are lumped in with all of the greats, all of the, I mean, isn't that awesome? "Who by faith obtained promises." Because that's the only way we're going to obtain the promises, is by faith. Faith is needed even to perform acts of righteousness for his sake. Faith is the catalyst that enables us to obtain all of those promises. It looks like forgiveness. So when you look at what does faith look like in somebody's life, it looks like somebody who is a very forgiving person, who's like Teflon, right? All offenses just kind of slide right off. It looks like somebody praying for their enemies. Do you have enemies in your life? Pray for them. Pray for them. God will change your heart. God will even reveal something to you about them that will bring compassion for them into your life. And you'll pray more and more for them with that compassion that moves his hand. But boy, is he blessed when you choose to pray for your enemy because he says so. It looks like joy in the trials. It looks like peace beyond all comprehension. It looks like serving others. It looks like freely giving to the undeserving around us what we have been freely given. Faith is obedience. And I'm actually going to start to close here. Not exercising faith is the same as disobedience. Can we agree to that? And I think Kim even said something last week, right? Partial obedience is disobedience, right? We can see examples of that in the Bible. James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." We are held accountable to the level of revelation we receive. We can no longer claim ignorance if we know that the word says, "I need to forgive my enemies," right? There's no more claiming of ignorance here. I know what the word says. I should be forgiving my enemies. I should be praying for them. I should be blessing them. Working out our salvation is walking out the word by faith with obedience. You remember at Christmas time, if you were here at Christmas, I shared a message, and one of the things that I said was that the words that we speak are really only just the wrapping paper on the gifts. If we were to give Christ a gift, our words are only the wrapping paper. The obedience that goes with the words, that's the gift. The Bible tells us that we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that we speak, right? Well, you know, you've got people out there that are quoting scripture. They're quoting scripture. Again, know every scripture for every situation, quoting scripture. But if they're not walking that out in obedience, those are idle words. They are idle words. Even the scripture, they're just idle words. And we'll have to give an account for every time we spoke his word, but we weren't walking in his word. How many times do we express our belief in him, but fail to add the actions that really speak that we trust in him? We need to spend some time in prayer, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, where are we in our walk? Lord, I think I'm walking in faith, but if I'm not, could you please reveal that to me and show me where I'm deceived? You know, the Holy Spirit will answer that question. The Holy Spirit, again, and the Word will hold up that mirror and show you, you know, you got something right here. But your friends may walk by all day and say, you're good. We should not expect to receive anything from the Lord if we doubt. And when we fail to act, isn't that because of doubt? Aren't we failing to act because we're not quite sure? Oh, we trust when we say we trust, but when it comes time to really trust, do we act on it? Again, feel the love of God, okay? Can you feel the love of God? He loves you. He loves us all enough to tell us what we need to hear, right? So he is lovingly, I'll put a smile, lovingly telling us this today because he cares too much about us. And he wants us to walk in the fullness of what he paid for us to have. And we want to be walking in the fullness of what he paid for us to have. So what's stopping us? the flesh. That's why we need to put the flesh on the Barbie. It's called the Barbie. On the barbecue. We know that we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us, right? Not just about us, but he actually cares for us. Do we realize how many times he intervenes in our life for our good? No, we don't even know how many times he's moved something out of the way over here so we don't trip on it, you know? Move somebody out of the way over here, right? He's working all things together. All things together. And that's why I was able to have peace through all of this last couple of weeks with all the money going out the door. And, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the kingdom. I know as a child of God, I have all the money I need ever. I don't even have to worry about a single dime or what it looks like I have or I don't have because I'm a child of the King. You are a child of the King who withholds no good thing. You know when he says, if somebody asks you for your shirt, give them your coat too? Well, that's he does that. You ask him for something and he gives you more than what you asked for. So when we get the revelation that, hey, you know what? We are children of the King, walking by faith in obedience to the Word, then we don't have a single care in the world. Our only care should be, did I hear him? Am I about my Father's business? Am I doing what I see he is doing? That should be the only thing, not, you know, anything else in this world. Then you start to walk the overcoming life. The overcoming life that doesn't matter what happens in this realm. Because we're living in a different realm where all things are possible. And again, you know, I want to be careful because we talk about these scriptures all the time. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. But we can say that a million times and not actually see the power of it. And so the fear is that the word gets watered down. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It's a good thing to quote. It makes you feel better for a second. But we got to be careful. You know, Christ could do no good work where the people knew him to be somebody else. If we're walking too long in this realm of not seeing the power of God, we fall into the same potential of coming to know Jesus as somebody who is just a good thing to talk about. And so there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. We need to start walking out this faith. We need to start adding actions and obedience to what the Word is telling us to do. You hear people say, I've said this before, people say, well, I don't hear from God. Well, read the Word. It's all about God wrote the Word. He can talk to you in His Word. And if you're not willing to do what he says in the word that you can read, why would he reveal any more for you? To whom much is given, much is expected. So again, this is your loving Heavenly Father just kind of giving us a little shake, a little wake up. You know, ideally we'd start speaking the word less and just doing the word more. Just speak it less, do it more. And you know, as we're talking about these catalysts, which are everywhere, by the way, our body, enzymes in our body, they're a catalyst for all kinds of signals. And my brain says hand move and hand moves. That enzymes are all part of that. There are diseases where people don't have that functionality because they don't have the enzymes. This is how important these catalysts are. You're not going to find a workaround. We're not going to find a workaround to walking in the power of God's word. The only way to do it is through faith by action. That's it. There's no other way. But opposite of catalysts, there are things called inhibitors. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but things that are inhibiting us from walking in the power of the Word of God. Things like doubt, disobedience, unbelief. Those are the kind of things we have to be looking at. You know, Kim was talking last week about the father that prayed, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I think that's a prayer we can all pray every single day. Help me with my unbelief. I just leave out the I believe part, because we're having a problem walking in that part of it. But let's just say, help me with my unbelief. How many will ask today, Lord, help me with my unbelief? Bottom line, faith equals obedience. Faith is not rehearsing the word. Faith is not re-quoting the word. Faith is not just saying it over and over and over again. Faith is doing the word. The Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Because if we're merely hearers, we're deceived into thinking that we have salvation. Amen? How do we receive salvation? By faith. By a faith that shows that our lives are being transformed, that we have submitted to this sanctification process through the Holy Spirit. Without the evidence, without the faith, without the transformation, you got to question if there's anything going on there. Right? So I'm going to, good time to stop. I'm going to stop right there. Why don't we just pray real quick, if you're okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, for so many things. Things that we don't even know about, Lord. We thank you for those things as well. Father, thank you for the wake-up call this morning. Help us as we take the steps to walk out this faith with fear and trembling, to walk out the word, to become the words made flesh like Jesus modeled for us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us with our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Again, we hope that you do come down and have some soup and sandwiches with us and fellowship with each other. We are a family, right? Amen. Thank you.